Hey, this is Dr. Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thanks for joining me here on Real Liberty Media Wednesday night. Hey, I was just going to make a quick announcement. My show, the Redneck Dentist, will be on Wednesdays and Saturdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So I'm going to kind of make it consistent here. Two times a week, Wednesday and Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern. And I just want to say, I'm posting my show on several different podcasts, whatever you call them, where you can get your podcasts. So look for it wherever, and or come to Real Liberty Media and download it. If you don't catch it live, download it right from the site, reallibertymedia.com. All right, crazy week. It's been a good week. Here on the homestead, we have had rain. Like, I don't even know how much rain. I haven't checked the rain gauge lately. I guess I should do that. Maybe I'll do that real quick here. No, I'll do it in a minute or in a few minutes or something. But it's been at least an inch, maybe 2 inches here in 3 days. The atmospheric river, I think I talked about it on Saturday when we were doing the project, which I'm going to give a little update on. The manure project in the north pasture. We did that because there was this, going to be this ton of rain coming. So we wanted to get that manure spread. So, you know, the rain would kind of dilute it and soak it into the field. And man, that was like perfect timing. Holy cow. I think the day before yesterday, it literally just poured constantly, like heavy rain for hours. And if it let up, it let up briefly and then went right back to it. So the rain was a good thing, though, because we got the manure spread. We got a ton of rain. It did everything just exactly the way we want it. Now we're going to put some seed out there. We haven't decided totally what kind of seed. It's going to be something to, like, feed horses, to hold the earth together, to, you know, keep our topsoil from washing away, which you never want. And I mean, right now it's pretty perfect because there was some, you know, pasture grass that had already started. And, you know, we were just kind of refreshing the field. So that's going to work out really good. And actually we're contemplating, growing something else in that north pasture. Not sure what. It'll definitely, if we do grow something, it'll definitely be something that we can consume, because, you know, that's a deal right now, is kind of looking at the way the world is going. You know, want to be prepared for anything, and we have plenty of room to do it, so that's kind of cool. I've had a pretty good week at work. I haven't had anything crazy in the dental office. As a matter of fact, what's been really kind of strange this week is, you know, and I kind of said before, things come in waves. Like, you know, you could be doing a ton of wisdom tooth extractions, like it seemed like every day for a month, and then all of a sudden it'll change and you won't do any for months, or maybe rarely do something like a wisdom tooth extraction. This week, I have had like the best dental patients. I'm not kidding. It's kind of crazy. It's like you see patients do an exam and it's like, yep, nothing I can do for you. See you later. Which in some ways it's kind of nice, you know, kind of nice to have a little break once in a while from the like absolute onslaught of dental disease, it seems like. I'll tell you something I actually saw today in case you want to. I'm not giving professional advice with this, okay? I'm just going to mention a product I saw today. I really know very little about it. I'll tell you what it is, and I'll tell you what I think the pros and cons are, and then you can go check it out yourself. But for those of you who have gone and had a cleaning with a hygienist, or sometimes a dentist will do it. I don't do cleaning, so I haven't done a cleaning in so long, I'd probably really suck at it. No, that's not true. It's not that hard. But, you know, to do a good job, you really have to, you know, practice doing that. I mean, dentists generally don't do cleanings. But what I'm getting at, there's something called the plaque buster. Now, I saw this as an advertisement on a news page I was reading news from. So take it with a grain of salt. It was an advertisement. But what it looked like to me and the video I watched was kind of like one of those ultrasonic scalers that a hygienist uses to blast the, you know, calculus and tartar off your teeth and stain. Now, I don't know if that's truly what it is. Because it seems to me, I'll just tell you the truth. Like in one way, I think it's a great idea for people who, especially now when there's a shortage of healthcare professionals, dentists, hygienists, assistants, doctors, you know, medical staff, whatever. You know, you're going to have to do some maybe more maintenance yourself. Now, I don't know how safe this device is. I'm probably going to order one up and try it myself just to see, like, people come to me in the future and they tell me they're using this thing. I can figure out, you know, if they've hurt themselves or if they've been using it correctly. But basically, it's a personal ultrasonic scaler is what it looks like to me. It looks like it'll blast off some heavy buildup, blast off some stain. Now, here's what I think the drawback will be. Like, if you're not careful with something like this device, you can damage your teeth, like, significantly. So I don't know what kind of a training manual might come with this thing, but, you know, from the looks of it on the video, it looked like something that the hygienist uses, you know, when she cleans your teeth, he or she cleans your teeth. So, you know, like I said, take it with a grain of salt, but if you're interested, it's called the Plaque Buster. Go look it up and see, you know. It's probably expensive, too. I didn't even look at how much it was, but, you know, if you're going to your dentist, periodontist, or hygienist for root planing and scaling, I can tell you that, in our office, it's probably $200 a quadrant. So $800 altogether. And if you could save yourself some of that without doing damage to your tissues, that would be a good deal. You know, it'd just be another one of those home oral hygiene things that you could do for yourself. So I will look into this and I'll do a little update sometime later. Probably within the next week, because if I don't do it soon, I'll forget about it. And you guys will never hear about it again and wonder what the heck happened. So I also need to put that in the show notes, the Plaque Buster, and do a little review on that. I don't know how many of you might have seen the State of the Union address yesterday or listened to it. I actually recorded it so I could go. I know, it sounds crazy. I actually recorded it so I could go back and pick out stuff that I heard. And yeah, I did listen to it live because it was important to me to see what would be coming out like in the news feeds and coming out in the people that I follow, on podcasts and streaming sites. So I know what they're talking about when, you know, they're talking about whatever. I probably listened to a few State of the Union addresses, mostly. After the first one, you pretty much don't have to listen to another one. I thought there was some pretty interesting stuff in this one that I'm going to get into in a bit. But I did want to talk a little bit about, on the homestead here, one other thing we were thinking about doing is putting a house up in the north pasture, in the north part of the property. And the reason is, because when we were up there this week, we built a fire up there and we spread that manure. And my wife and I were like standing there on the top of the hill looking around and thinking, man, this would be a perfect place for a house. Like our house is a little bit below the top of the hill and we have a pretty fantastic view. You guys have seen the view if you've watched any of my videos on Rumble or BitChute, the photos of the sunsets are all taken from our back deck, or I should say 90% of them are taken from the back deck or the backyard. But man, you go up another 30, 40, 50 feet on the top of the knoll back there, and it's even a more spectacular view. So we're thinking about it. We'll see. The house, when we bought this house, it was already here. It is in a pretty much a perfect location. So I don't blame whoever built this house for putting it exactly right here. It's a perfect spot. But that spot up there is even more perfecter. How's that for redneck? All right. So next on the agenda, I was going to talk a little bit about, I am going to talk about the war between Russia and Ukraine a little bit, mainly because there's some parts missing for me that I wish I understood. So I'm going to throw it out there and see if I get some feedback, which generally I do get pretty good feedback when I put something out. So that's always much appreciated. By the way, if you are listening live or if you're catching this on a podcast, come to reallibertymedia.com and there's a chat room available. I mean, the chat room's available, I think, all the time. I'm in it all the time. But if you listen to the show live and come to the chat room, you can literally post something right in the chat and I'll see it. I'll likely ignore it, but I'll see it. I'm kidding. I wouldn't ignore it, mostly, or maybe. But anyway, there's some great people in the chat room. Always love seeing what they have to say. In fact, I get a ton of information from people in the chat room, whether they know it or not. But they post great links and it helps keep your mind open so you're not, hang on, something's going on. I don't want to go on. What the heck is going on? Okay, stop. All right. I think we're good. Yeah, I know what happened. Sorry about that if you were hearing some music. It's all good. All under control. Anyway, come to the chat room live. Like I said, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 9 p.m. Eastern. Okay, so one of the things I wanted to talk about between the Russians and Ukraine, well, Putin and Ukraine, is so for virtually a week, I've been hearing about this convoy that's headed for wherever, just fill in the blank, wherever in Ukraine. And then it looks like the convoy got stopped or stalled, or maybe it strategically just halted where it was. There's all kinds of propaganda right now. You got to be really careful about getting swung by any of it because you just need to keep an open mind in times like this. But one of the things that, I'm going to sneeze. Sorry, I've been sneezing all day too. One of the things I don't understand, if Ukraine had any kind of an air force whatsoever, why is that convoy still existing? It's literally lined up on a road. Like you would think if they had any kind of like bombing capability or even, I don't know, missiles or whatever, war stuff, they would just go straight down that line and blow that convoy to pieces. Like I've seen that convoy for days now. And they keep saying this convoy is headed for, who knows, Kiev, wherever. And I'm like, well, I wouldn't say, Ukraine, you were very prepared for war. Well, like maybe you didn't expect war, but come on, man, they are lined up like we used to say in the service, nuts to butts, you know, like nose to nose. And it seems to me like it'd be pretty easy to stop that, which has kind of brought me to a point I was thinking of on my own property here. So I've always been kind of a security nut with my property. Now, it's not so crazy. Like, I don't lock my doors. Oh, God, I shouldn't have said that. It'll take you a bit to get to the house, number one. Like, you'll have to defeat some other security things before you actually get to the house. But yeah, you could get to the house and the doors would be unlocked. At least a couple of them would be unlocked. So if you pick the right ones, you could probably get in, let's just say. But from the perimeter of my property, and even I could say beyond, because some of my cameras go beyond the perimeter of my property, you know, we have things set up to detect motion, to trigger some kind of a warning, or to have a light come on, or you know, some way alert us that there's something or somebody approaching our property. Because one thing is, I don't want anybody ever to surprise me on my property. And it has happened before. It was a neighbor, and luckily it was a friend, but, you know, you can get caught off guard. And, you know, if you don't pick up on all the signs and signals you put out there, you know, to alert yourself, all of a sudden somebody's standing, you know, somewhere where you didn't expect them to be, and it'll make you a little bit jumpy. But along with this convoy thing, you know, this Russian convoy heading toward somewhere in the Ukraine, you know, it just kind of looks to me like the Ukrainians weren't ready for this at all. Like, almost like they never even trained for the possibility that Putin and his army would come through Ukraine. Because, I mean, wouldn't you have some kind of, like, barriers in mind? Like, instead of just letting them drive straight up the dang road to wherever you are, like, wouldn't you kind of blow some giant holes? I mean, if you weren't strong enough to repel them, I'm saying, wouldn't you just, like, make some kind of, wouldn't you make it difficult for them to get into your country instead of just letting them drive straight up the highway? Not that it's an interstate or anything like that, but for crying out loud, it's a road. They're literally following a road. So I was thinking about this in kind of the context of, okay, what happens if it hits the fan right here? Right here in Sheridan, Oregon, right here in my little town, in my little valley, you know, how could we stop traffic from getting this far? And luckily, I mean, we have some pretty good choke points up here. That's both a good and a bad thing because, you know, choke points work both ways, really. You know, if you don't have all alternative routes for getting out or away, you might have to go through that same choke point. But having a choke point so that you kind of direct all the traffic into a certain spot kind of works in your favor. Like, especially if it's a bunch of people or vehicles, well, they're not going to be able to come through the woods because the dang woods here are just too thick. And one side of this hill is just too steep. Unless you're walking, and walking is fine because it's going to take you a while, and hopefully, you know, you would become a very obvious target. But I'd like you to kind of think about that. You know, as you're thinking about, like, just surviving, whatever, natural disaster, war, nuclear war, not that we're going to survive that, anything. You know, do you also think about that perimeter security for your property? And how, you know, in what ways could you, you know, increase or decrease the chance that somebody's going to be able to get through your perimeters? I know a lot of people live in houses, apartments, whatever. That's cool. Make sure that your home is as secure as you can make it. And that you have escape routes, you know, that you can defend it or that you have escape routes. That's, you know, we've always been prepared to defend our house or to, you know, deal with intruders, whatever way we have to deal with them. And nobody in this house, I think, well, the kids, grandkids are, but everybody else is fine with taking on whatever. In fact, when we even have people going by the road, First of all, there's only two houses beyond me, beyond our house here on the hill. So we know generally who is supposed to be up there and who's not. And when you see somebody who looks suspicious or they're looking at, you know, your stuff, like in the implement building, and they're kind of checking it out and they're taking their time going up the road, we'll just go out and talk to them and ask them what they're doing up here. And, you know, most of the time you catch them kind of on the defensive, because they don't have an excuse for being up here, and they feel a little uncomfortable. And if they don't, then we make sure they feel uncomfortable by telling them they don't have any reason to be up here. The road's private too, so, and there's trespassing signs, so they should know better. But anyway, oh, I wanted to mention one other thing about this kind of goes back to kind of food production and saving food and, you know, growing your own and taking care of yourself. And that is, well, when we moved into this place, there was a giant, like, fuel tank. I don't know how many gallons. It's got to be, I can't even venture a guess. I can tell you this. That tank is, let's say 10 feet long, and it's about 5 feet in diameter. It's a gigantic tank, but it had some bullet holes in it. It had rusted in one section. It had been sitting here probably for decades, literally, out in the open without fuel in it. So for a few years, it just sat where it was, you know, outside. And because, you know, think about it, it's too damn big to move. I didn't have a tractor the whole time I've been up here. I just got a tractor in the last few years. So one day I was thinking, I think this was about 15 years ago too, when I was kind of the last time I was thinking something horrible was going to happen. Probably it was 2005 or 6, something like that. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to make an underground bunker out of that thing. Which kind of would be okay. It also doubles as a root cellar, which is why I was going to tell you about what I did with this thing. So at the time, I didn't have a tractor, but my neighbor had a tractor, and I asked him, I said, hey, Rick, I go, could we just dig a giant hole right behind my woodshed and put this tank in it and then bury it? And just leave the opening, like I built an opening on the one end of it, so I could get in and out, or so we could use it for, you know, root cellar. And he said, yeah, we could do that. So he came up. Actually, he borrowed another neighbor's excavator, which was much better because it did the job a heck of a lot faster than what even a standard tractor with a backhoe would do. And you know, we dug this deep hole and dropped the tank in it and took the dirt that we had saved from digging the hole and covered the freaking tank with that. And I made a little kind of an entryway on one end where I had built a door on it. And so now we have that, you know, whatever you want to call it. It could be a shelter. Really, it would be more like a bunker. And I don't know that you'd want to be stuck in that bunker shooting at people, because you would be pretty much limiting your ability to escape. But maybe it would protect you from bombs or something like that, a little more protection than being above ground. But really, as a root cellar, it works really good. So, you know, it's covered in earth. It maintains a pretty steady temperature year-round. Not perfect, you know, it's not like totally underground, but it'll stay nice and cool in the summertime, and it'll keep from freezing in the wintertime. So I'd say, you know, it's a pretty good deal all around. I'm going to have a little drink. Join me, everybody. Okay. All right. So here I have a couple questions. You know, it seems like the mainstream media has jumped on the Ukraine bandwagon, which really, I mean, in some ways it makes sense to me, and in other ways, I got to question, like, whether that is the right side, if there's a right side of this whole conflict to be on. Yeah, I think Putin is kind of an idiot for creating or for starting this war with Ukraine. But I kind of wonder, like, the propaganda, man, you get hit with so much propaganda. And you hear it, like, okay, so for what, years now, we've had the mainstream media, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, everybody censoring everything to favor one particular view. Now these same people come out kind of in favor of Ukraine. And of course you see Russia, Putin, the Soviet Union are being censored by the same companies that have censored open discussion here in the United States for the last at least 2 years. So it makes me very suspicious about siding with Ukraine. Because, you know, all of those outlets lied for years, and they've been lying for years. And, you know, one of my current campaigns is for us to be the media, for us to fire up the cameras and go live in some of these situations. If you happen to be, you know, if something goes off around you, if you literally go to any of these, you know, campaign stops or political speeches or gatherings or riots or whatever you want to call them, fire it up and go live or record everything, because it's the only way that if the mainstream media is ever going to be defeated, this is the only way. But back to my point. So if everybody is supporting the Ukrainians, I'm thinking to myself, okay, the same outlets who have lied to me for 2 years, who have defended the use of poisonous vaccines, who defended the use of masks that don't do anything, who stood behind the tyrants who were, you know, handing down these ridiculous mandates and, you know, bringing the country to its knees financially, they want me to somehow believe that the Ukrainians are the good guys here. Now, on the other hand, you hear a lot about the Ukrainians having, you know, Nazis in a, you know, Nazi party, or Putin said he's going to take out the Nazis in the Ukraine, which... maybe that's just an excuse to go in there and, you know, get the left fired up, which is kind of weird because the left in this country, well, I mean, there's a lot of Nazis on the left in this country in our past. So it'd be kind of a shame that they're supporting the Ukrainians, and, you know, the Ukrainians turn out to have a lot of big Nazi presence. I don't know. But the thing is, you know, being lied to for a couple years, it kind of makes me suspicious. And also I was thinking to myself, I mean, well, Vlad has his own media, so he's got his own mainstream media, and they just tell, you know, they just tell stories he wants them to tell, I assume. And maybe he is just trying to defend his country from all of the crazy stuff that the rest of the world has seemingly bought into. And maybe he is just trying to preserve that. Now, you don't preserve that by going to war with a neighboring country. That doesn't make sense. I mean, it seems to me if he really wanted to preserve his way of life and their traditions, he could do that by keeping everything within the boundaries of the Soviet Union. I gotta put glasses on for a minute. which I don't have to do very often anymore. But once in a while, I have to. Oh, don't want to have too much dead air, for crying out loud. Oh, yeah. So back to the State of the Union. There was a couple things that just blew me away about the State of the Union. One is, and I said this before in my show, I mean, you notice there were no masks being worn because apparently the CDC thought, you know, COVID is no longer a threat, so they don't need to wear masks in the White House. That was convenient for this State of the Union address to be maskless. They did put the fences up to prevent another, you know, January 6th. Oh, God. Crazy. And I didn't even see anything about truckers making it there. I don't know if the U.S. truckers are still headed there or not. But the fences are up. You know, the fences were up for as a reminder that there was an insurrection last year and they're still dealing with it. It was so terrifying for them all. I'm glad it wasn't a true insurrection, but they would at least know what terrifying is. Anyway, what the hell was my point? Oh, the State of the Union address. A few things that really stood out to me is that, one, it was kind of surprising that he didn't totally lose it far more times than he did, because I was actually kind of waiting just for the entertainment of hearing him bumble around like, you know, mentally disabled person he is. But he actually, you know, read his lines pretty good, hit his marks pretty good. Surprising that so many of them were aimed or kind of like conservative talking points. But that's exactly what they're going to want you to believe. It's exactly what they're going to want you to believe. And I said this a couple months ago. I said, you wait. They're going to make Biden a hero because he's going to stop the... He's going to... Oh, thanks. But I am sometimes, Rob Works. Biden's going to be the hero because he's going to have crushed COVID. We no longer are going to have... Did you hear this line? COVID no longer needs to run our lives. Did you hear that line? COVID no longer needs to run our lives. And I was just thinking to myself, COVID didn't run our lives. You tyrants put your policies in place. You tyrants brought people to their knees financially because they wouldn't comply with your mandates. You know, you led so many people into financial ruin in the last 2 years. Oh, and I thought that was a joke too, him talking about how many jobs he created last year. Do you know that number of jobs he created last year, we would have to basically create that many jobs a month for years to actually make this, bring this economy back. I remember that from a long time ago, how many freaking jobs it would take to get everybody employed and get the economy booming again. And so to hear him say like how many jobs he created and how it was the greatest, you know, increase in I don't know, the history of the world or something. I forget what his claim was because I knew it was BS. But yeah, you know, they are going to want, you know, elections are coming up. In some states, elections are 90 days away. Can you imagine that? So March, April, May, June, I think that's the primaries, you know, come up in June and July, you know, November, a lot of states will have their elections in November. So yeah, they got to start burying a lot of this stuff under the rug. You know, they're going to make Biden the hero because he defeated COVID, you know, because of his great policies of continuing to vaccinate people with a vax that doesn't do a damn thing. As far as anybody can tell, it doesn't do anything that a vax is supposed to do, but somehow he'll claim victory for that. He'll claim victory for you having the freedom to not wear a mask in public places. He'll claim victory for being able to go back to regular distancing instead of social distancing. He'll claim victory for, I don't know how they're going to turn around the economy. I think I heard him say that they were going to, you know, increase energy production. I don't know how they're going to do that. I just don't know how they can do that with the green base that they have. The green base isn't going to put up with it. They're happy to have soaring gas prices. Hey, we had a gas station here in Oregon. I saw on the local news tonight. Gas was $6 and something cents a gallon. Now, I don't know if you guys pay six something a gallon for gas where you are, but certainly we don't here. In fact, my wife and I were out this past weekend, which was kind of the early part of the war. But yeah, $3.20. We were probably $3.60, $3.70. I think it was $4 for diesel, which I don't know why in Oregon that's more. But yeah, I know why, because they tax the crap out of it because they don't want people driving trucks, you know, in this state. But, you know, six something a gallon in one station in Portland. And I kind of think those people were trying to make a point, like, because most of the other stations were somewhere down around five or under $5 a gallon. But still, you know, that's like a dollar higher than it's been for, no, it's not a dollar, but the price has gone up considerably in the last week. Oh, that's something else that I thought was one of the stupidest things I heard on the, I can't remember if Biden actually said it. I'm going to go back and maybe pick this point out. But he said, or one of his thugs afterwards said, you know, we can't just turn on gas supply. I know that stupid Psaki said it. You can't just, you know, even if you said, go ahead and produce, you know, pump crude oil and produce your, you know, gas byproducts, he said it would take years for that to affect the gas prices. Funny thing. You know, when Trump was in office and he freed up all the possibilities of, you know, developing our own oil, energy, prices dropped pretty damn fast. And I can guarantee you that there are oil wells in this country, probably pumping fuel, but that could be pumping fuel tomorrow if somebody said, go ahead, pump fuel. And the effect would be immediate. As soon as anybody says, yeah, let's go back to pumping and producing our own oil, you would see a direct decrease in oil prices tomorrow, the day after they say, go ahead and pump. Go ahead and produce gas, natural gas, diesel, all the byproducts of crude oil. Go do it. The funny thing is, for me, if you think about this, this is just another way for the United States to abuse other countries. It's another way for us to exercise our superiority over other countries. We have elites ruling this country. You know, elites don't like to poop in their own backyard, but they'll poop in your backyard. And that's basically what we're doing. What, you know, what these elitists in the environmental party basically is saying, look, fossil fuels are terrible. We cannot be using fossil fuels. So we are not going to produce anything from fossil fuels in this country. We're going to dirty up your country to get our fossil fuels. We're going to make your country suffer the consequences of taking those fossil fuels out of the earth, of, you know, producing other products out of those fossil fuels. Do it in your country because we want our environment over here clean. But you peons, you need to produce this for us so you, you know, you can suffer the consequences. We're paying you a good price for this so that later on, you know, you can clean up your own environment. But right now, we just want to keep our environment clean. And so we're gonna destroy your country, which, you know, when you think about it, isn't that stupid? Because if you're actually talking about the world environment, the global environment, then it doesn't matter who's producing it. It really doesn't. If it affects the entire earth, if global warming is truly global warming, climate change, and if it's man-made, well, it doesn't matter if it's done in Russia, if it's done in China, if it's done in Iran, if it's done in the United States, or if it's done in Australia. No matter where it's done and how, where it's being consumed, it's still going into the global environment, if that's what you believe. I personally don't believe it. Yeah, we have an effect, I'm sure. Oh, did you see that commercial too? I don't know if you caught this. The last few days, they really started ramping up this environmental commercial, and they make it sound like these independent scientists have decided that, you know, we're, like you've heard so many times, that we are on the brink, that if the temperature rises another 1.6 centimeters, I mean, centimeters, Celsius, that, you know, it's the end of the world. We're not going to make it. Sorry. This is what happens. You know, I work all day, talk to people. I wear this stupid mask because, you know, I have to because I'm a dentist. I mean, you really actually have to wear a mask just so you don't breathe in aerosols from a high-speed handpiece. And then I get hoarse by the end of the day. And then, you know, I don't wet my whistle enough before the show. So need to do that more, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, so it's actually not a bunch of scientists. It's actually an environmental group whose sole purpose is to let you know how bad the environment is doing. But they really pump that idea out. I saw it. I actually even saw it on whatever I was watching on YouTube, waiting for the State of the Union address to come on. Oh, no. And then I had the local news on the other TV in the background. That's what it was. And I saw this commercial on there. Oh, Rob, I am so glad you brought that up. I'm sorry. That sounded probably very distracting on the podcast. Okay. So if you haven't seen Joe Rogan take down Bill Gates about Bill Gates giving anybody, you know, health advice, go check it out. That is the funniest, greatest takedown ever. And so appropriate because Bill Gates is a big fat slob, but apparently he has a lot of money. You know, that's the story. that's how it goes. It doesn't matter how you look. You know, if you have a big wad of cash, I guess you can do whatever you want. Let me look at my notes again here. I know I got distracted by something because I was talking about the environment and, oh, I know, but basically the fuel thing, you know, oil production, right? It's going to take years for oil production. Even if we turned it on today, it'd be years before it affects oil prices. What's funny about that is, you know, it's kind of like, do they really think, and I know they do, do they really think that people don't remember just like literally a couple years ago when, you know, we were producing massive amounts of energy, oil, and It did make a big difference in the price of, you know, oil, gas, diesel, natural gas, and others. Oh, yeah. And then, of course, you know, Biden's the one who shut down the damn pipeline. First day he was in office, he's the one who started creating this whole inflation thing by increasing the cost of energy. First day in office. And it's funny how they can't even remember. It's kind of like, you know, all of a sudden they have some kind of amnesia. It's kind of like this one drug I use to help people relax. It has this certain effect, and I forget what it's called, but it's like a temporary amnesia, which is really cool. I'm going to explain this to you. But this is kind of what the Democratic Party, the current ruling party in the United States, is like. So this drug called Ativan, it's also goes by another name that I can't pull up right now. Sorry. End of the day, you know. It doesn't matter. But anyway, this one drug I use to help people relax so that I can do dentistry on them without them freaking out too much. It has this amnesia effect, which is really kind of awesome. So I'm going to explain how this works. So the patient comes in. A lot of times they go, yeah, that stuff you gave me, it isn't even working. And I go, okay, well, just go ahead and sit down, you know, and relax, take some deep breaths. And yeah, they do that. And then, you know, I just go about my thing, you know, like, okay, well, we're going to get you numbed up now. And they're like, oh, you know, but the, you know, I'm still kind of anxious. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, and I give them a shot, and it might hurt. I mean, they may react to it and they may not, but literally seconds after I give them the shot, they forgot that I even gave them a shot. So that's how this kind of amnesia works with this one certain drug. But that's kind of what the Democrats are doing now. That's kind of like their thing now, is they forget that they turned off the gas pipelines and shut down drilling on federal lands throughout the country, which increased the price of energy here in this country. And, you know, now they just don't know what to do. You know, they're going to put these emergency stockpiles, they're going to put them up. That'll get us through, at the very most, like 10 days. I did the math on how much they have and how much they're, you know, going to release. We would eat that up in no time whatsoever. Yeah, lorazepam. Thank you. I appreciate that. I get so much help. It's awesome. What was I saying? Oil production. I don't know. Something. I got distracted. But yeah, they can't. They don't know how to get it back on track, even though they did the damage. That's kind of like they're all on lorazepam. Ativan, I call it Ativan, lorazepam. Halcyon's another good one, but it doesn't have that amnesia effect. You know what was great about that? I'm kind of going back to the dental section here for a minute. So when I had my implant denture clinic, I'm not going to give you the numbers, but I'll tell you in general. This is what my patients got the day of surgery. They got a steroid that they would take for 3 days. Okay, they would take a certain number the first day, a certain number the second day, and a certain number the third day, and they'd be done. And they would start taking it the day of the surgery in the morning. And then I would give them a narcotic pain medicine, either Norco or Percocet. And then I would give them Ativan. And sometimes I would give them an antibiotic, but not always, just once in a while. Like if they had infection present within a week of me doing the surgery, I would start them on antibiotics so they wouldn't have any infection present when I was doing the surgery. So here's the deal. So when I would do these surgeries, like I would extract 20, 30, 28 teeth, 24 teeth, you know, whatever, do some, you know, bony sculpting to make the bone nice and smooth and even so that we could put implants in. And I put implants in, I put bone graft in, I'd suture everything up, send them on their way with or without a denture, right? I would do a follow up the next day, and I would ask them how they were doing. They're like, man, I feel great. And they're like, you did a really good job. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, thank God for pharmaceuticals, man. It makes you look like a freaking genius. And I mean, eventually they would, you know, they would feel some pain, but it wouldn't be nearly as much as, you know, what it would be if I didn't do those things. And there's a reason I did the things I did. One, steroids always make you feel pretty damn good. There's always a little bit of an uplift when you use a systemic steroid. And systemic steroids also reduce post-surgical inflammation and swelling. So you kind of get ahead of the pain game by reducing the amount of swelling the patient's going to have the next day. And then I give them the narcotics to control pain, you know, any kind of breakthrough pain they might be having. And the Ativan to make them forget about the day that they had the surgery. So like in a weird way, they have this 24-hour period. They don't really remember everything that happened, but they know something happened and it doesn't hurt that bad. And they think, you know, they think I'm great. And that worked out really good because they would refer other people. And I had a very successful 5 years doing that. It was actually one of the most fun times of my dental career, but very intense also, doing big surgeries every day. Well, that is so funny. Let's just see. Okay, well, I'm going to say so long. Thanks, you guys, for hanging out with me. Well, I wanted to tell you one more thing. I've been kind of taking some, kind of learning about some podcasting stuff, listening to people talking about podcasts and why you do it. And they said the number one reason to do a podcast is because you think it's fun to do a podcast. Well, I think it's fun to do a podcast. I'm going to keep doing it. I hope you guys keep joining me. Thanks for joining me live. I'll see you on Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Thanks again. And what shall we listen to?